This is Tim Mahoney, pastor of the Moss Bluff Pentecostals. I hope you enjoy this audio broadcast from one of our services. Now open your heart and open your mind to the Word of God.
Isn't it good to be in the presence of the Lord this morning? Won't you put your hands together one more time if you're excited about this new year? Amen. Have great expectations. Turn to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Reading from verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 17. And it reads like this. Paul speaking here. He's asking some questions. And he says here and asks, "When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness? Are the things that I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh, that with me there was should be yea, yea, and nay, nay?" Kind of want to pick up the middle part portion of the scripture this morning where it says, "Are the things that I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh?" And this morning I want to speak to us today about that word purpose. My subject this morning is the power of purpose. The power of purpose. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. This morning I would like to begin a series that I hope will help us launch forward into this new year that we're facing. And our text that we've read this day is a scripture that I've never even noticed in the Word of God, nor have I preached from. So I'm very excited about what the Lord has put upon my heart today. Paul here, he's letting the people of Macedonia know that he wants to repay a visit with them. He had been to their coast before, and if you read verse 16 of this opening text that we read, you'll see that he's making every intentions to go back and visit this people. And so as he's wanting to make his intentions clear here in Scripture, he begins to ask them some questions. The first thing that he says is, "When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness?" Everybody say lightness. Paul here in the form of a question is letting them know, the people of Macedonia, "I'm trying to come again to you. I want to preach to you again. I want to fellowship with you again. I want to be with you once more." But he's letting them know, "I'm wanting to do this with no reservations. I'm trying to get back to you." And he says, and I like how he ended the first question with the word that we all would love to possess right now. It's a good word for this time of the year, lightness. Everybody say lightness. I don't know if you got any New Year resolutions about becoming lighter, but I am. I don't know about you, but I like that word lightness. But then he goes, look at the next question. Right in the center of this passage, he says, "The things that I purpose, do I purpose them according to my flesh?" The things that I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh? What is purpose? What does the word purpose mean? There's many definitions, but it's commonly used. It's a noun that means it's something set up as an object or end to be obtained. We understand what purpose is. It's intentions. It's even another definition of the word purpose is a word we hear this time of year. It's called resolution. It's determination, or it could also be a noun meaning a subject under discussion or an action in the course of executing that action. A purpose. So let's talk about purpose for a few moments this morning. You see, the search for purpose of life has puzzled many people for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. You see, everyone is searching for it. They're searching for a purpose in life. You see, most never find it, however, because they never find a real purpose in life because we typically begin at the wrong starting point. We begin with ourselves, don't we? You see, we ask self-centered questions like, "What do I want to be in life?" Maybe you did that as a young person. You maybe set some ambitions, some goals. You started asking questions, "What are my goals? What are my ambitions, my dreams for the future?" And so we begin with ourselves. But focusing on ourselves will never reveal our life's purpose, our true life's purpose. So what is life's purpose? What was I created for? What is my purpose for being here? You ever ask those questions? Maybe as a young person, maybe you're still asking them now. Why am I here? The answers are clearly found in the Word of God. We're going to read some of those scriptures. Romans chapter 12, Paul he kind of enlightens what life is really supposed to be about. In verse 1 of Romans 12, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then he says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You could actually probably throw the word purpose right in that scripture right there, because he says, if you'll present yourself a living sacrifice unto the Lord, you're going to prove what is the acceptable, what is the perfect, what is the good will of God. Amen. Job said it this way in Job chapter 12, verse 10. He says, in whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind? What was Job saying in this passage? He was saying this. He says, for the life of everything, every living thing is in his hand. He was telling us that everything in this world is in the hands of God. And he says, and the breath of every human life is in his hand. That's what he was saying in the scripture. He was trying to tell us that we have a purpose. It's not to see how much money we make. It's not to build the mansion on the hillside. It's for us to fulfill his plan, his will in our lives.
Right.
You see, you and I were made by God, but more importantly, we were made for God. Everybody say for God. And until you understand that, if you're struggling with that, I want to tell you life will never make sense. If you don't understand that your purpose of life is not to eat, it's not to work, it's not, all those things are fine, it's not to educate yourself, but your purpose in life, you was created for, by God, for God, to worship Him. Amen? You see, it is only in God that we will discover our origin. It's only in God we're going to discover our true identity. It's only in God we're going to understand our meaning, our significance, our destiny, and more importantly, it's only in God that we're going to truly understand our purpose in this life. Let's clap our hands. I think that's a good time to clap. Amen? And when you make that discovery, that life is not about you, but it's about Him, I want to tell you, you'll find peace and joy like you've never found before, beyond your imagination. When you say it's not about me, but it's about God. When you make that discovery that my purpose in life is not about making money, it's not about having a great family, it's not about building even a church, it's about Him. Everything that I say, everything that I do, every moment that I make in my life, I've got to do it for Him. It's my purpose. It's my purpose. There are many books you can read, many seminars you can attend to help you find a new career. Discover a new way to make more money. Accomplish the American dream or make you become a healthier being. But when you finish the workout, let me ask you some questions. When you finish that workout, when you get through with that book, when you receive the degree, when you complete the house on the hill, would you have lived a life with purpose? See, as Paul asked, I asked you this morning, as he asked those Corinthians, in verse 17, the things that I purpose, ask yourself, do I purpose them according to my flesh? When I wake up on Monday morning, am I living for Robbie Stevens or am I living for Jesus Christ? When I go on the job, when I start turning wrenches or when I enter on the computer and I hit the buttons, am I doing this for God or am I doing this for my employer? Am I going through life as I'm eating my meals, as I'm going and visiting with family members, and as I'm visiting my friends? Am I doing all these things for a purpose, or am I just doing these things according to my flesh?
That's right.
You see, purpose should be the driving force that will lead you and guide you into the promises of God. That's why we miss out on so often the promises of God, because there's something else driving us, and it's not God. Listen to this. Many are driven by guilt in their life is one that is constantly running from regrets and hiding their shame. Then there are others that they're driven by their past and it enslaves them and their future is bleak. Some are driven by anger and resentment and which either causes them to clam up or it causes them to blow up. Others are driven by fear which causes them to miss out on the miraculous and the blessings of God. And others are driven by materialism which has just a temporary happiness. And are left empty. But I want to ask you this morning, what drives you? What is driving you? You let somebody. I'm preaching about the power of purpose this morning because I want you to be driven by His purpose. You see, let somebody be driven by purpose and you will find a powerful and blessed person indeed. You see, purpose empowers us. Everybody says, empower us. Come on, empower us. Let's say it together. You see, purpose gives life meaning. Our lives were made to have meaning. When your life has no meaning, you have no power. But when your life has meaning, it empowers you to bear almost anything. Purpose will get you through the tough times. Purpose will get you through the trials. There are many who face this new year probably depressed because they feel like their life is meaningless. But let me tell you, Isaiah said it this way in Isaiah chapter 49, verse 4. He says these words, he says, "Then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for naught and in vain." He's saying here, at one point in my life, Isaiah, he had lost his purpose. And so in this scripture, he's saying, I've lost my direction. I've lost my purpose. He says, I've labored in vain. I've spent my strength for naught. And all in vain, he's saying. Job lost his purpose for a few moments as he was going through his trial. Job said it this way in chapter 7, verse 6. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. These are just a few examples of men who lost their purpose for a moment. But look at the ones in scripture who had a purpose. Look at Daniel in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. The Bible says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." I want to show you something, how powerful purpose can be. When Daniel had purpose, he had purpose in his life. Daniel had power to resist. What got Daniel through the lion's den? What got Daniel to pray three times a day, even when it was declared that he would be thrown in that lion's den? What did he do after he heard the decree? What drove him to open the window towards Jerusalem and continue to pray? What caused Daniel to see revelations of dreams that he interpreted for Nebuchadnezzar? What challenged Daniel to get up and resist all what the peer pressure that was upon him that day? Not just Daniel, but those three Hebrew boys that was with him. What caused them to resist all the temptations of that hour? I'll tell you what helped him, what empowered those men. It was purpose. Purpose gave them the power to resist. Let's look at other men. We all know who King David is. Look at what he said in his prayer. Look at what purpose did in his prayer. Psalm 17, verse 3. He says, "I am purpose that my mouth shall not transgress." Purpose caused David and empowered him to speak good things, talk about good things, caused him not to transgress against his God. David had a purpose. He wanted to build. It was purpose that drove David to start collecting lumber and start collecting money, the financial aid to start. He said he had purpose in his heart that he wanted to build a sanctuary for God. He looked all around him. He said after he won all those battles, he wanted to build the house of God. But God told him, he said, "What you have intended in your heart is a good thing, but," he said, "you've got too much blood on your hand." He said, "So I'm going to pass it on." God was speaking to David. He said, "I will pass it on to your son." And so David began to gather all these materials and all these things to build something for God. It was purpose that done that.
That's right.
And then he passed on that legacy to Solomon. For in 1 Kings chapter 5, you read verse 4, it says, "But now the Lord my God hath given me rest on every side." This is Solomon speaking here. "So that there is neither adversary nor evil occurrent. And behold, I purpose." Solomon speaking here. This thing that David had, it now was passed on to Solomon. And Solomon says, "I purpose to build an house unto the name of the Lord my God. As the Lord spake unto David my father, saying, Thy son who I will set upon thy throne in thy room, he shall build an house unto my name." But what caused Solomon to complete the job? Purpose is what built Solomon's temple. Purpose is what got the lumber from Lebanon. Purpose provided the manpower. Purpose supplied the financial aid. That is the power of purpose. I want to ask you some questions. What got Abraham to leave his homeland? What got Moses to return to Egypt to lead his people? What got David to run towards a giant? What inspired Paul to preach to the Gentiles? All these men, they all had purpose. when Paul gave his testimony to King Agrippa in Acts chapter 26. He told about his experience on the road to Damascus when he first encountered Jesus Christ. And notice when he's given his testimony, when he's talking about that encounter with God on the road to Damascus, what does he say in verse 16 of Acts chapter 26? This is what Paul says. Jesus speaking to him, he says, "But rise and stand upon thy feet." Jesus talking to Paul here, he says, "For I have appeared unto thee for this," everybody say purpose. He says, "I'm going to make you a minister, a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee." You see, after that day, on that road to Damascus, Paul changed. He went from being Saul to being Paul. He had a purpose in life. And you know what? Paul never forgot those words that Jesus said to him. He said, "For this purpose." It never left his memory. It never left his psyche. Everything that Paul went through, every message that he preached, everything that Paul did from that point on, he never forgot the words of Jesus when he spoke to him and said, "For this purpose." See, that's why he was able to survive the imprisonments. That's why Paul was able to survive the shipwrecks and the beatings and to the narrow escapes that he had so often, the starvation at times, the misunderstandings, all because he remembered those words that Jesus said to him, "For this purpose." Even in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, when he began to talk to these people, he said, "You know, none of these things move me. Not the starvations, not the fastings, not the misunderstandings, not the path that I've taken upon, the paths I've walked, not the imprisonments. All those things, none of these things move me." Why? Because I remember those words. It was embedded in my mind. Jesus spoke to me and said, "For this purpose." You see, when the stone struck his body, he remembered those words. You see, because purpose will ignore pain. When the chains were locked around his hands, you know what caused Paul and Silas to begin to pray and sing? It was a purpose. And they realized in that jail cell, life had meaning. Purpose caused him, when he stood on Mars Hill, he began to speak boldly when he began to preach to those people of Athens. And when his ship was broken apart, purpose caused him to grab a hold of a piece of that ship and hang on to it with all he had, because he realized he could have easily given up that day because he had been fasting for many days. But it was purpose that caused him to grab a piece of the ship that was floating by. But I have a greater example for you, greater than Paul. I want to ask you some questions this morning. What kept an innocent man on the whipping post as a cat of nine tails struck his back over and over and over again? What kept a man from fighting back when one pressed a crown of thorns into his skull? What kept a king silent when they dipped his royal robe and they began to part it? What kept him from saying anything? What kept a carpenter's son's hand still while he saw a hammer in motion about to strike this old rusty spike into his hand? What kept a carpenter's son silent on that cross? What kept him hanging there when he could have called 10,000 angels? Amen. What caused God not to call those angels to his aid? The same thing I'm preaching about this morning. That is the power of purpose. He said in his word, "I came to this earth for one purpose only, and that's to save and to seek that which was lost." You see, the story of Esther is one that I must bring out in this message this day, because it shows how powerful purpose can be. As the story, we all know that Esther is brought into captivity along with Mordecai and many other Hebrews. Can you imagine her dilemma now? A young lady unsure of her future, unsure of her survival, unsure of what to do. But with all those uncertainties, she's placed into a situation for one thing, for purpose. I'm sure there were days she didn't understand why her nation fell to the Medes and the Persians, why she was brought over into this strange land with all these other men, why her life was even spared as many were slaughtered in that crusade. Now Esther here with Mordecai and some of her closest friends, now they're in a land, they don't understand why they're there. Perhaps she's lost her focus, she's lost her dreams, her ambitions. Everything in life is now put on hold because now she's in captivity.
That's right.
And so she has no purpose by her perspective. She has no ambition. She has no dreams. All those have been wiped away. And she's unaware of her purpose until the day that somebody now comes to her and begins to talk to her about her purpose. And we pick up the story in Esther chapter 4, verse 13. Her uncle coming. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther. And he says to her, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews." And he begins to tell her about her purpose. He says, "For if thou altogether holdeth thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed." And who knoweth those famous words that we've all heard preached many times, "Whether thou art come to the kingdom for such time as this." You know what Mordecai was telling her? "Esther, I know. I don't even know why we're here. I don't understand perhaps why Israel lost the battle. I don't understand why we're in captivity, but I can tell you this, we still have a purpose."
Amen.
He told Esther, he said, "You have a reason for being here." And now that reason has come to light. Now as Haman is plotting to destroy our nation, destroy our people, trying to annihilate them from off the face of the earth, now it is your time. Let me tell you, Esther, it's your time. It is your purpose. This is why you were created. This is why you were born, for such a time as this.
Yeah, that's right.
For such a time as this. And so Mordecai told Esther her purpose. And today, in this simple lesson, as Mordecai told those words to Esther, I'm looking at people today and I want to remind you of your purpose. Those same words, "You have come to the kingdom for such a time as this." Purpose will always bring you to places. What got Esther into the presence of a king? What propelled her and got her past the guards, coming in uninvited in the king's presence? What caused that king to extend that scepter out to her? I'll tell you what it was. It was purpose. Purpose will always get you into the presence of a king. Purpose will always bring you into the courts of a king. It will always bring to you a place in God that you've never been before. You see, in that meeting, it was purpose that brought Esther into that courtyard. And in that meeting, we find that she saved her people. Because the scripture says a few chapters later, in Esther 8, chapter 17, chapter 8, verse 17, it says, "In every province and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had" what?
Joy
and gladness. "They had a feast and a good day, and many of the people of the land became" what? Jews. I want to ask you this morning, God is still looking for Esthers.
Yes, He is.
He's looking for women.
Yes, He is.
Who have discovered their purpose. He's looking for Mordecai's who understand the purpose of God. You see, when you discover the purposes of God, God will unleash some things, that He will release the miraculous power inside of you and in your world. I want to tell you, when Esther began to petition King Ahasuerus for the safety of her people, we see not only did King Ahasuerus have Haman destroyed, but he says that many of the people of the land became Jews. They had joy, they had gladness, they had feast days, all because one person realized her potential.
Amen.
That's the power of purpose. As we stand together this morning, today I hope I've said some encouraging words to make you understand the power of purpose. Today, I want you to discover and become everything that God wants you to be in this new year. God has some great things in store for this church. You know, a scripture that I always like to refer to is Romans, I believe it's 8, verse 28. It says, All things work together for the good to them that love God and are what? Called. According to what? His purpose. You see, you want good things to happen to you in the year 2014. You want revival to happen to you and your family, in your city. I know you do, because you wouldn't be here this morning. You want all those things to happen. all the good things, all the promises of God, all the miraculous things of God, all the things that our hearts and minds can't even conceive. They all happen when we understand the power of purpose. God has called each and every one of us for a purpose. I don't know what that purpose is, but God wants to do something through us. He's called you to His kingdom for such a time as this. I wonder what would happen this morning if the Esthers and the Mordecais, throughout the service — we're going to do many things in this service today — if you would just begin to focus on the purpose of God, what He wants to do in your life. Because we're going to rededicate our lives a few moments from now. We're going to consecrate our lives to God. And in that time of prayer, you're going to hear so many great words, many more songs. But in that time of prayer, I want you to get your focus upon God and doing His purpose. Because guess what will happen? All things, all the good things in life, all the blessings of God, all these things work together for the good to them that are called according to His purpose. Let's clap our hands unto the Lord, shall we? Hallelujah.